Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Religious holidays play an important role in many food traditions. We've talked about a number of them on the VPR Cafe, but we haven't discussed the Seder at Passover before. Melissa Passanen writes for the Seder Wars section of the Burlington Free Press, and she's here to share what she's learned from talking with some Vermonters about how they celebrate Passover. Melissa, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Chag Sameach. That means happy holiday in Hebrew, just so you know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. For those of us who are not quite sure, what is Passover?
Passover is a Jewish holiday, and it starts this year on Friday evening. And it's actually believed to be one of the most ancient of Jewish annual celebrations, dating back to the first century when it marked the sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb, and was a lot of it was about new life, which we all know is very symbolic in many springtime holidays. But this particular holiday in the Jewish tradition evolved to commemorate the release of the Hebrews from slavery after deadly plagues passed over, get it, their houses, and the Egyptian pharaoh released them from bondage.
Okay, so then what is Seder?
So Seder is a meal that is crafted around a religious service, a traditional service, and it's held in the home traditionally, and it kicks off Passover. So traditionally, people will do a first night Seder on Friday, and then some will also do a second night Seder. And it is very ritualized. Seder means order in Hebrew, and there's a particular order that you go through the service with the meal, sort of winding through, and you share foods symbolizing both the bitterness of slavery and the sweetness of freedom.
And so are there traditional foods that are associated?
Oh, there are many traditional foods, and I have brought you some to eat. I think, first of all, you should taste that delicious thing I put in front of you. So matzah, I think, is probably the most recognized food associated with Passover from all people. It's a flat cracker kind of bread. And the whole point is that during the week-long Passover, you do not eat anything that is either leavened, you know, any bread product, any cake or cookies that have any sort of leavening in them. Because the escaping slaves did not have time to let bread rise. So what I just gave Rick to taste was matzah spread with something called gefilte fish that I happen to love, but a lot of people don't care for. It was traditionally, gefilte means stuffed fish. And so traditionally it was sort of a mousse and you would put it in a fish skin and poach it. But now it's sort of more like a little fish canal. And then you eat it with horseradish, and I grated some fresh horseradish, which is also represents the bitterness of being slaves. And I have some fresh horseradish here that I grated onto it, which is delicious. A friend gave me. And what did you think of that?
So that's my first gefilte fish, and I've seen it in jars and always thought that's the last thing on earth I would ever actually put in my mouth. But it's quite mild. It's very nice. It's simple and
You have to have it with the horseradish, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Makes it good.
I think that certainly helps the flavor. But yeah, I'd eat that.
Yeah.
And so I have.
So the other thing I brought you to try actually comes from a dessert workshop that I went to a few weeks ago at the Havara of Addison County, which is a lay-led, so not rabbi-led, Jewish community in Middlebury. And they're actually hosting a community Seder on Saturday, which if there are spots left, you can look and see if you want on the website a link to how you can go to that. It's welcome to open to everyone. So this is a dessert that Rabbi David Edelson made into a Passover dessert by using no regular flour, no leavening, and it's lemon custard pudding cake.
Oh, my.
Isn't that good?
Okay. I really like that more than the gefilte fish.
Really? What a surprise. And that recipe
wow.
is also can be linked through the VPR site if anybody's looking for a delicious lemony Passover dessert.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri, and with me today is Melissa Passanen of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing Seder at Passover. Melissa, you told us about the foods that are traditionally served at the Seder. Are people taking creative approaches to this meal?
Well, it's interesting. At the community Seder that will be at the Havara on Saturday, they have a couple tables, one which will have foods that are okay for the Ashkenazic Jewish tradition, which is my own personal Eastern European background, which is actually more limited than the Sephardic, which is more the North African, Turkish, Spanish heritage of Judaism, where they are allowed rice and lentils and other things. And then I did speak with a woman in the Montpelier area, Michal Wall, and she actually also happens to be a trained rabbi but isn't associated with a specific congregation. And she for many years was vegan, which makes, especially if you're following the Ashkenazic tradition, very, very tough. Now she says she's a pescatarian, so that makes it a little more flexible. But she would always, her Seder allowed rice and lentils and other kinds of legumes. And she had a very, very favorite haroset recipe. A haroset is another traditional food, which is supposed to represent the mortar that the slaves had to put between the bricks. And it's this kind of chopped up paste of fruits and usually nuts. And then you put some of that really sweet Passover wine. People might know Manischewitz, right. Mm-hmm. That you really don't want to drink, but it's fine. And your haroset. So there's a recipe in the New York Times several years ago for an Iraqi haroset, which just sounds amazing. It has all sorts of dried fruits and nuts and banana even in it that sounded delicious.
This is an ancient tradition. So how are people making the tradition of Seder their own?
So I spoke with another gentleman who's involved in a Seder, a kind of a big community Seder that's been going since 1977. In the Burlington area. And the gentleman I spoke with, his name is Andy Simon. He spoke to me some about the food, but more also about other ways that they bring this service to life throughout the meal with a lot of music. The younger children in the room might do skits about the 10 plagues that the Hebrews survived to get their freedom. And then they have a really neat thing they do. There's a prayer and song called Dayenu that is traditionally spoken about the whole story of the Exodus. But what this group does is they've made it more contemporary and more relevant to everyday modern life, which is one of the threads that I found when I spoke with people about what they were doing to make Seder more part of everyday relevant to today's life. Some of the other folks I talked about just said it's good to sit down and remember that the big picture is this is about freedom from slavery of all kinds. So it's a good discussion and point of other ways that slavery is represented in modern life and how we can help make that not so.
Melissa Passanen writes for the Save Award section of the Burlington Free Press. Melissa, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Thank you. And here I raise a glass of lovely Manischewitz wine to you, Rick.